If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
My dad was an interesting man. He was born in Jamaica and came here when he was about 29, 30. And my mother was from the South, Georgia. And so I grew up in a two-culture home. My dad was a Seventh-day Adventist and did not eat pork. And mom, being a Southerner, worshipped the pig. In fact, we had burnt offerings every week. Amen. And my father would take me to sporting events. We would go to the Phillies games. And my dad always had a rule. We never sat on the first baseline. He said that's where the foul balls would come. And we always sat on third base. My dad never liked to buy food at the stadium. We would take hot dogs and thermos bottles because he didn't want to spend the money to do that. And we always had a seat close to the playing field. He wanted to let me go down and run down and see the players. Then on the other Saturdays, he would take me out to Fairmont Park to see the cricket games. And I would sit there with my dad, and he knew the people on the team, so they'd let us sit on the bench. And I thought about how a father spends time with you and shares their experiences. And one day I was sitting there, and the guy, he went to throw the ball, and the man hit the ball, and it, for some reason, it came over to where we were sitting, and it hit me on the ankle. And if you know anything about cricket balls, they're hard as rocks. They're about the size of a baseball, but they ain't like a cork baseball. And that thing hit me, but I wasn't going to cry. I was about 8 years old, and I sat there, and I toughened up, and my dad looked over at me, and he said, "You can cry if you want to." When he gave me permission, I let it go. Oh, that thing hurt so bad. I can still feel it to this day. And I thought about that today in my office when I thought about a father. And I thought about God. How God never tells you you shouldn't cry. He tells us he stores our tears. I don't know what he's going to do with them, but I do know that God doesn't mind if you cry. It's a great time to be alive. Three people die every 2 seconds, 90 people every minute in the continental United States, and you're still here. And since the Bible supports the theory that God is a capitalistic God, which means he only keeps people around that he can work through. If God didn't need to work through you, you'd be dead by now. But you're still here because he has one person that he wants you to touch. Every one of us can look in our lives and find that one person who was instrumental in bringing us where we are. And now God is saying, who's the one person that you've touched? We are taught that as a principle, each one of us influences, rather directly or indirectly, 247 people in our time called life. And then they go and they influence another 200 and some odd people. So in a secondary way, we influence the influencers. But who have you touched directly? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, God says to Ezekiel, he calls him son of man. I guess I have to say I sought for a man or a woman, but the Bible said don't add to the word. He said I sought for a man. I know some of you are going to be upset with me. Well, what's wrong with women? Nothing. But he sought for a man. I know you're upset about it now, and you'll probably put some stuff on Facebook about me tomorrow that Bishop Lambert don't like women. You're wrong. The greatest gift that God could have given a man was a woman. But I do not like the cultural change of the woman. I do not like the fact that they want you to act like a man. I do not like the fact that they try to put pressures on you that you weren't psychologically, emotionally, or physically capable of handling. And the bedrock of civilization is a good woman. She's the first teacher of the children. She is the comfort giver to the husband. She is the lover of those who fall down to help them get up and keep moving. She's the glue that holds the family together. She's the motivator to the man when he feels like he wants to give up. She can look at him, wrap her arms around him, and encourage him to go on and be the president of the United States. She sits a boy on her lap and raises a man. She loves him so much that he will, from that day forward, any woman that he associates with must have some of those characteristics. But yet society is trying to tell you you're not good enough in that role. But yet God made you to be our helper. He made you to fill the gaps in our lives. He made you to stand by us and show us with loving kindness where we are prone to go wrong, because we're never wrong. We just don't always do it right. Society is putting more pressure on you than you're able to bear. You need a man to hold you, to comfort you, to encourage you. A husband, not just breath and breeches. And a man needs a woman to get him through those moments of emotional despair, of spiritual darkness. God can speak through that wife to tell that man something that'll encourage his heart and drive him to the next level of spiritual greatness. You're not supposed to be in competition with us. We are supposed to bless the Lord together. You should not seek passion from a member of the same sex. God made you for the man, made the man for you. Man made the train to carry the heavy load. Man made the plane take you up and down the road. Man made the car so that you would be able to cruise around comfortably. This is a man's world, but it would be nothing without a woman or a girl. Even Jesus came through a woman, took that same 9-month trip as all of us did. God could have just made Jesus and let him appear, but he put him in a woman. While today we honor fathers, you wouldn't be here, Father, if it wasn't for a mother. Your father wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a mother. Your father's father wouldn't be here if it weren't for a mother. And so you ought to rejoice with that rib that God gave you. God said, I'm looking for a man. He didn't say, I'm looking for a person. This is not politically correct. He says, I'm looking for a man. Somebody that I can send out to accomplish things that will turn the heads of humanity back to me. God said, I sought for a man that would make a wall and stand in the gap so I won't destroy the land. But I couldn't find one, because society and our culture has beaten you down into a non-functional role. He has stripped you of your desire for prayer and worship and made you so task-oriented, you're more concerned about the doing than the being. We do so much till we lose our family. We do so much till we lose our children. And then they become the antithesis of what we want them to be when they become adults. Nothing pleases a father more than seeing their child walk with the Lord when they become an adult. God said, I called for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but I couldn't get one. Therefore, I have poured out mine indignation on them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads. This is a powerful scripture that deals with God's never-ending search to find a human, to serve as a spiritual intercessor. Now, our culture has forced us to adopt this mentality. Well, if God can't find a man, he'll use a woman. And so that is the reason why we have so much conflict and so much competition between the sexes. Women, God isn't using you because he couldn't find a man. He's using you because you have destiny. It would be an insult to you for you to find out that you are just a replacement. You're not a replacement. He had you in mind. In fact, he even speaks and says, give me the weeping women. Why? Because they know how to pray. They know how to get before God until change comes. They're more patient than the man. So God said, I'm looking for somebody to stand. So this tells me that God is always looking in Isaiah. He says, who will go? Who shall send for us? I'm looking for somebody to go out and stand for me. And he uses the plural, us, meaning the Godhead. Who will be our representative? Isaiah says, here am I, send me. But Ezekiel, when that same speech is given, there is no response. Ezekiel does not say, send me. Ezekiel hurts with God. Even as far as the book of Jeremiah, the same thing comes when Jeremiah is walking down the street and God is saying to him, I don't have anybody to stand up for me in this wicked land that I can use in these desperate times. Jeremiah is walking around trying to find a godly person. And God says, no, there is not one. All the way up to the book of Revelation, that cry is still going out. Jesus is still going. He stands there on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was an 8-day feast. The purpose of the feast was to remind the children of Israel how God cared for them. So they made little tents that were supposed to be representative of how God cared for them during the 40 years of wilderness wandering. And so they made those tents, and they would come up and they would sacrifice to the Lord, and they would sing and they would worship. And on the 8th day of the feast, the priest would stand up and he would recite a psalm. And when he recited the psalm, he took a pitcher of water and poured it out to illustrate the outpouring of the Spirit upon the people of God. But one day Jesus was in the audience. And he gets up on the 8th day and he walks over to the other side of where the crowd had gathered. He picks up the ceremonial pitcher of water and he pours it out and said, all you that thirst, come to me and receive water. And the water I give you will be water inside of you. You won't need to get it once a year, but it'll be springing up inside of you. He was literally saying the same thing. Who's going to come to me and get this water? When we finally reach the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we find that same cry. Who is worthy to open up the seals and get the program of God started all over again? John says, I wept because nobody was able to stand up. The cry had gone out, and Abraham was there, and Isaac was there, and Jacob, and David, and all of the patriarchs were sitting in that great company, but not one of them could stand up and take hold of the seals and start God's program. John said, I wept because no one was able to do it. God was still looking for somebody to move his program forward. Then an angel tapped John on the shoulder, and he said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the offspring of the Most Holy, the bright and the morning star, has prevailed, and he is able and worthy to open the seals and take the book. When John turned around looking for a lion and saw a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. And Jesus steps up and takes the book out of the hand of the Father and starts the program of God. So God finally gets his heavenly messenger in the person of Jesus. But between Genesis and Revelation is us. The implementation of the manhood in Genesis chapters 2 and 3. All the way up to the revealing of the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, in the book of Revelation. He is looking for us. And now I include both sexes. God has something for all of us to do. And while I don't believe we should focus on it to the point where we lose our connection with him while we pursue what's of him, I do believe we ought to fulfill what we've been put here to do.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6318P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.